or turn on your Bibles or look at the screen and follow along as we read from the Gospel of John chapter 14 verses 15 through 21. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will abide in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you in a little while. The world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. May the Lord bless to our understanding the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. So there's this old story about a young fellow who was taking a stroll through the woods one day, and he came across a cabin of an old monk. Now, this young fellow knew that the old monk had a reputation of having a deep understanding of God. And so he knocked on the door, and when the monk opened, he said very casually, with almost a flippant tone of voice, "Hey, I want to find God. Would you show me how?" Well, the monk didn't say a word. He just took the young fella by the hand and led him down to a rather deep stream that was close to the hut. He had the young man kneel down and start to look into the water. Suddenly, the old monk grabbed the young man by the back of the neck and shoved his head down into the water and just held him there. Well, the young man began to flail about, and the monk just tightened up his grasp and held him there longer. And before too long, the young man was thrashing about violently, and finally, with a huge heave, he pushed himself back up out of the water. And in several minutes, as he inhaled and panted and gasped for air, he looked up in bewilderment at the old monk. And the old monk said, "When you want God as deeply as you want air, then you will find him." People need to make sense out of life. We all have this deep yearning down inside of us for something above and beyond ourselves. And people try to fill it up with all kinds of different things: work, busyness, friends, family, children, hobbies, drugs, sex. Now, all of those things have their place, and they can be very good. They're just very poor substitutes of what we're really looking for, because the reality that we all seek is God. Specifically, it is the God who has been made known in the life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ Jesus the Lord. We all need God more deeply than we need air. So this morning I want to reflect for a few minutes on how to know God. As we get started, let's take a moment and pray together. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have brought us here together from various places and various states to come around and gather at your word. We pray, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to understand everything that you have to say to us. We ask in your precious name, Lord. Amen. in his book, Isaac Asimov Laughs, the famous science fiction writer tells about a time when he was interviewed on national television by host David Frost. And during that interview, Frost asked Asimov about his views on God. Well, Asimov was very reluctant to admit in front of such a huge television audience that he was an atheist. And so he stalled by asking, "Who's God?" Frost said, "The Judeo-Christian God." Asimov stalled again. "I haven't given it much thought." And Frost came back, "I don't believe that. I'm sure that a man of your wide knowledge and attainment would surely have tried to find God." Asimov saw his chance and he took it. He said, "God is smarter than I am. Let God try to find me." Laughter ensued and they dropped the subject and went on. Well, the thing is that the interview was a taping. And Asimov started to wonder what might happen on the night that it was actually aired. Now, off and on for years, Isaac Asimov had suffered from kidney stone attacks. And on the night that the interview with his flippant remark about God was actually on television, he had his most violent and very last kidney stone attack. He writes, "It is useless to try to describe the bitter and relentless pain one goes through in such an experience. I was left clutching my abdomen, struggling about, and gasping out loud, 'Okay, God, you found me, now let me go.'" God is smarter than we are. God is stronger than we are. God is more powerful than we are. God is more of everything than we are. And God knows that we need Him more deeply than we need air. Our problem is we can't find God. So in His infinite love and mercy, in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord, God has come to find us. And God has done some things so that we can know Him. For instance, one of the things that God has done for us is that God has let us know that we don't ever have to be alone. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandment, and the Father will send an advocate who will be with you forever." Jesus has invited us to know that God's love will never abandon us. There's an old movie called Home Alone. Maybe you've seen it. If you haven't, spoiler alert, because my family has seen it many, many times. It's about this family who decides they're going to take a Christmas vacation to Paris, France. The problem is that on the day their flight is going to leave, they sleep too late. And in their mad dash to make it to the airport on time, they leave their little 10-year-old son at home by himself. Now, they realize their mistake about halfway across the Atlantic Ocean, and Paris, France is such a long way away, and it's the Christmas holidays. It just takes them a long time to make it back home. And in the meantime, robbers try to break into the house, and young Kevin is left with his own wits to try to fend off their attacks. And it gets rather hilarious. But in the end, family and child are reunited safely and happily together. Well, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that even though he was going away, they would not be left alone. In fact, Jesus knew that because he was going away, the Father could send the advocate, His Holy Spirit, so that we would never have to be alone. As we let God's love infuse our lives, we gain access to that Holy Spirit of power. Jesus commanded us to love one another. As we keep Jesus' commandment to love, we will start to know God. Another thing that God has done is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, God opens our eyes, our ears, and our minds to see the things that He is doing all around us. A few sentences later, in John chapter 14, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us everything. Wow. Jesus went away. But that did not mean that God stopped being active in this world. In fact, God is active every day, all around us, all the time. And the Spirit keeps us alert to all the things that God is doing. It's kind of like the little boy who was talking to his mother one day, and he said, "Mommy, I learned how to count. Listen, 1, 2, 3. She said, "That's wonderful. Keep going." And he looked up at her and said, "You mean there's more?" There's always more. I was reminded of that in our 8:30 Sunday school class last week. They were talking about things you can't see all around us. Back in the 1670s, this Dutch draper named Anton von Leeuwenhoek, I think I said his name right. Anyway, he developed this interest in lens making. And he would take these lenses and he would use them to magnify everyday objects. And then he would draw pictures of what he saw. Well, one day he was looking through one of his lenses at some water he had collected out of a ditch. And he noticed these tiny little creatures swimming around. And all of a sudden, he was introduced to this whole world of microbiology that nobody had ever seen before, because you can't see it just with your eyes. And then in 1683, he saw some even smaller creatures that came to be called bacteria. And then a couple of hundred years later, a French scientist named Louis Pasteur discovered that some of these bacteria actually caused infectious diseases, and his germ theory of disease completely revolutionized medical science, and the average life expectancy went from like 35 to 70. I read somewhere that human knowledge doubles every 10 years. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but what I do know is that every day we are discovering more and more about the infinite wisdom of God. Our God is so great. Our God is so magnificent that there is no end to the wonders of creation just waiting to be uncovered. And the Holy Spirit keeps us alert to what God is doing all around us. And as we let that Spirit become active in our lives, we get to know God. So as the presence of God's love starts to take over our lives, we start to know God. As we let the Spirit keep our whole beings open to what God is doing, we get to know God better. And as we share our knowledge of God with more and more people, we start to know more and more of God's love. A couple of chapters later in John 17, there's a record of a prayer that Jesus made on the night before he died. And in that prayer, he not only prayed for his original disciples, Jesus prayed for everyone who would come to believe because of their word. From the very beginning of the church, There has always been this expectation that people would share Jesus' good news. We simply cannot exhaust God because there is an unlimited supply of God. We cannot share too much of God's love. We cannot share too much of God's truth. We cannot share too much of God's power. There was a very significant news story in USA Today this past week. Maybe you saw it. The Cigna Insurance Company did a nationwide survey on loneliness. They were concerned about the subject because apparently loneliness is not only a social problem, it is a major contributor to illness. Cigna cited a 2010 report that said that loneliness has the same effect on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes every day. It's more dangerous than obesity. And the results of the survey were quite astonishing. The one group in the United States who is the most socially isolated, according to the survey, are people between the ages of 18 and 22. They had this loneliness index. I don't know how they came up with it, but on their index, 20 represented the most socially connected, and 80 was the most socially isolated. People between the ages of 18 and 20 averaged the score of 48. People 72 and older, who they originally thought would be the most socially isolated, actually scored 39. And the national average was 44. And I think one of the most significant results of the survey is that social media does not help. The one thing that cures social isolation is face-to-face human contact. The point is that people all around us every day are lonely. Christ Jesus our Lord said, go, share the good news. As we do, not only will we see lonely people's lives all around us transformed, we will truly know the God of love. And it all culminates right here at this table. You see, friends, this is not a Presbyterian table. This is the Lord's table. And it is around this table that we can experience the presence of God's love most deeply. It is around this table that we can see the activity of God most clearly. It is around this table that we can hear and respond to Christ's commissions most fully. So as we come to the table today, I invite you to let God find you. Allow Him to transform you into the person you were created to be. I'm going to ask the servers to come forward and prepare our table for us as we prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls to receive the sacrament of grace.